Now, joining me on the couch today is a young SAFTA-winning film producer who has turned his hand to feature directing in a new documentary movie called Normal to Me. It's a very personal project for Luke Sharland. The film tells the story of his own sister and of her community at the Joyce Chevalier Centre, which is a protective workshop in Fishhook for adults living with intellectual disabilities. And it's a thrill for us to have three guests in studio today because Luke is here, as well as his sister Jessica and the centre's manager, Catherine Pritt. Welcome to all three of you. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Luke, I know you've described this film as embracing the unique and celebrating the diverse. Obviously, it's a very deeply personal story for you. Tell us a bit about the perspective that you wanted to share and why you decided to make this film.
So, growing up with my sister Jess, I always felt that I had such a unique and wonderful sort of experience with my family and with Jess. And I knew from the beginning I wanted to be a storyteller and I wanted to, you know, go into film. And I just wanted to find I was battling to find the perfect story, or I didn't know how I could tell this story I wanted to invite people into my life and into my sister's life and to just show them how really great and unique it is. And then when my sister started at the Joyce Chevalier Centre, I remember dropping her off one day and seeing this community, and it was a light bulb moment for me. And that's when I thought, okay, the set is here.
Yeah.
The characters are there. There has to be a story. And there was. And that's when I started developing this this concept about exploring what normal is and what it's like what it could be like for people to come look at, you know, what it's like to live with someone with a disability, but it's really from their perspective. So that's pretty much it.
Which is very powerful, because when we talk about giving a voice through film, Luke, you're giving a voice to people that society often overlooks, and we're going to hear from Jess herself in just a second, but as the title suggests, normal to me. This is normal to you. This is how you grew up. Jess is your sister that you love, and that's the way your family was. It must be wonderful to have the opportunity to show that to the rest of the world and say, hey, maybe pause and rethink the way you look at people living with disabilities. Because often we take a very sort of group-minded response that they're people who are not like us, or that's not normal, and inverted commas, as has been normal for us, and people are scared of what they're not familiar with. Is your hope that this movie helps take away some of that fear and say, open your hearts, open your minds to people who live among us?
100%. I mean, I think generally people are good, and don't judge a book by its cover, and not to make fun of people with disabilities. But really what I want this film to, you know, want this film to sort of show people is it's not shame. You know, these people in this documentary, in this community, have got so much to offer the world. And at the end of the day, I believe that the world has become so complicated. You know, there's so much going on, where if there's one message with this documentary and this what the people in it show, is that it's really simple. It's really, like, there's three things. It's find purpose, find love, and just be kind. It's really that simple. And I think if a lot more people, if you can take that away from this documentary, I feel that I've done my job. And I feel that that's really the message. And I think the world would be a better place, honestly, if those three things were sort of taken to heart. And it was my privilege to be able to film, and I mean, like I've said, I've lived with my sister my whole life, and I've had a great experience, and it's been wonderful, and I've really learned so much because of my sister Jess.
I wish my older brother spoke about me the way your brother speaks about you. Welcome. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, everyone. Hello, everyone out there.
how long have you been at the Joyce Chevalier Centre?
Quite long.
And tell us a little bit about what your life is like there. What do you enjoy about your life there?
I enjoy doing the beads. I enjoy doing the foam. I enjoy doing the gloves and the packaging.
So you really enjoy the work that you have there. Does it mean a lot to you to be able to work?
It does.
Yeah.
It really does, because it just builds up my confidence to do to work there. If I didn't have Boss Catherine, I don't know where I'd be now.
We're going to hear from Boss Catherine in just a moment. But Jess, I don't want to give too much of the movie away, but from the little bit that I have seen, I know that you have found more than just the satisfaction of work. You have found friendship and love at the centre as
I
well.
I have found somebody.
Yeah. How important is it to you, the relationships with other people that you have made?
It's lovely, because at first I was lonely, and then out of the blue there came Paul, and I'm very happy. My boyfriend Paul, I love you so much. Thanks for being in my life.
Jesse, thank you for joining us today. Now, Boss Catherine is sitting next to Jesse, and that's Catherine Pitt, who is the Centre Manager of the Joyce Chevalier Centre. Catherine, it's lovely to put a face to the name after corresponding with you for a while. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Won't you tell us a little bit more about the history of the centre?
Well, it has a long history. Mm-hmm. The organisation is 50 years old, and it started as a support group for parents with children with disability. Yeah. And certainly in an era of institutionalization, a lot of parents didn't know what to do with their children. So they came together, and out of that was born the center. So I do remember a lot of visiting speakers coming to talk to the parents. And I was very, very, very young 50 years ago. Just realized what I said. The parents would leave the children or the young adults in one of the parents' homes, and that would enable them just to have some a break from their children during the day. And out of that, purposeful activity developed, and they started a workshop, because there were schools for children with disabilities even in the early 70s, and the need became a workshop for adults with disability, and then specifically adults with intellectual disability. So, yeah.
So what do you look like today? It's 50-odd years later. Am I doing my maths right?
Yes.
Okay. And how big is the centre? Tell us a little bit more about day-to-day activities.
Yes. Yeah, so we're a workshop. Our focus is on productive work. Everybody there earns a minimum wage, and we do work like labelling or packaging, repetitive tasks that we are very good at. And we have 48 workers who come to work every day, and I'm particularly proud of the life skills, the work habits that they develop when they're there. So they pack their lunch, come to work, and they work hard for the entire period. We have disciplinary hearings if things go off. You know, people have to lock away their cell phones. So it is an actual workplace. Mm-hmm. But then we have the social. So we also have a walking group, a dance on a Friday afternoon, where people, we do a show once a year at the Masque Theatre. And so trying to offer choice and social interaction. So some people don't want to do it. Like this Saturday, we are supporting another NPO by walking, and people can participate if they want. And I think this is one of the biggest challenges for adults with intellectual disability, is to be able to live out choices, because they need support to access activities. And that is what is so difficult for them. So we try to provide a variety of activities, and then we support them to, so mostly it's transport, to get to the activities. Yeah.
Jess, something Catherine said there strikes me as being so important, that it's about making choices for yourself. How important is it to you that you are allowed to decide what you're going to do with your day and what activities you're going to join in, and make decisions for yourself like that?
I enjoy every minute of it, being with Boss Catherine.
Okay. I mean, Catherine, it's such an important thing that you've just said about that sort of having agency of your own life, because it's something that society tends to sort of assume is not there, or even to take away without meaning to in some cases. Not so.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for people with intellectual disability, it's particularly difficult to make choices, because they don't often have the problem solving or the abstract thinking to be able to imagine what that activity would be like. Mm. So what would it be like to walk 12 kilometres? Well, I fell yesterday on the way to the spa, and therefore walking and falling are synonymous for me. So perhaps that might be a thought pattern. Right. Whereas if you then encourage and promote. And then, you know, we've got some quite good hikers with us now. Mm-hmm. And they were fearful to start because they hadn't had the experience. But now that they've had the experience, they can choose if they like it or not.
Right.
And so that is the difficulty that people with intellectual disability face, is often they can't imagine what an activity is like. And so if you say, what would you like to do today? It might be, go to work.
Mm.
Even if it's Saturday or Sunday, mm-hmm. because it's something that there's a positive experience with. But there are lots of other things to do. I mean, we live in Fishhook. We've got the great beach. We've got mountains. We've got everything going for us. Yeah. So, yeah.
Very lucky with the location. It's not the wetlands walk you're doing this weekend, is
we
it?
We are, yes.
Okay, fortuitously, we're going to be speaking to that NPO at about 2:30 this afternoon.
Okay.
So very unintended circularity there, but how wonderful that you're supporting that. Speaking of which, supporting fundraising for NPOs is just so difficult in the current climate. And Catherine, in fact, before I heard from Luke about the film, I heard from you about how the Joyce Chevalier Centre, like other NPOs, is really struggling in the face of the current funding environment. We've heard several times now how the budget cuts for national social development funding have trickled down and impacted everyone. What's the situation like for you?
So I think, as wanting to be a workshop where we work, it's very difficult to ask for funding. And so the government support has always been there to provide the staff, which are ideally the support. So the gap that a person with a disability faces is often the requirements of the task and their own abilities. And then the staff need to fill that gap.
Mm.
And I think there's been a lot of rollout in other sectors, like for wheelchairs, or which is a support, or mobility devices. But in the field of intellectual disability, there's been very little rollout for human support. So the person. And the fact of the matter is that that's what we need money for. And so while we do earn money through our work, we don't have that extra to pay the staff. And so, yes, so the risk is staffing. And I think that's for most NPOs in our area. And yeah, so we are relying on fundraising, and not many fundraising opportunities are available. You know, we'll pay for your staff. They just don't ask for that. They all want new projects or things. So, everyone's giving me suggestions on who I should write to. but the fact of the matter is we need people. We need support staff.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the message to anyone listening is, if you see any kind of event being organized in support of the Joyce Chevalier Centre, please think back to this interview and know how important it is to be supportive of such endeavors and to support those shows at the Masked Theatre and take part in community events like the market that they host at the end of the year, etc., and lend that support. Let me circle back and just reintroduce, in case anybody came in late to the interview. You've just been listening to Catherine Pitt, who is the centre manager for the Joyce Chevalier Centre in Fishhook, a protective workshop for adults living with intellectual disabilities. Also with us in studio is Jessica Charland, who's one of their workers, and Jessica's brother Luke Charland, who is a filmmaker. And on, was it Wednesday or Thursday next week, Luke, about to premiere your new documentary called Normal to Me. Now, what Catherine's been describing, what Jess has been telling us about her life there, this is obviously the source material for your documentary. What we haven't really touched on here is the beauty of the stories you found there, because this started as a personal project, your experience with your sister. What was it like immersing yourself in that centre and discovering all the other wonderful stories to tell there?
So, like I've said before, it was really my privilege to be able to come into this space and into this community to tell this story and these stories. I have to say that, as a filmmaker, especially a documentary filmmaker as well, is like, it's very hard to write the narrative. You ask a lot of questions and you hope that the answers that you get are going to help form that narrative. And then when you sit down in the edit room, that's where you sort of start working with, you know, your team to put the story together.
Yeah.
But with this particular project, with these particular characters, I had an idea of what I wanted to say. And from day one, after asking the first question, I thought it was going to go one way and it went the complete other way. And it sort of started writing itself. And it was incredible that sometimes we would just have the camera playing. And I had an incredible DOP, his name's Greg Kutzer, mm-hmm. who's also, he's a talented documentary cameraman and filmmaker. And we would just sometimes just leave the camera going and rolling, and the story, it just came. And I think as a filmmaker, you really hope that you capture these moments. And I think a lot of this, at least the process when we were making this film, a lot of it also just, our characters were there and they know what they wanted to say. And I think that was also very important, is leading up the development. It took about 6 months, 8 months of development where we just spoke. And because I think that's like touching on what Catherine says, is giving choice is, you know, I didn't want to come in there and have like a you and us sort of situation. I wanted them to tell their story. And I wanted the people there to say, like, what do you want to tell?
Yeah.
What's the story you want to tell? And that's, so it took a long time. It wasn't just like an overnight thing, and a long time where we discussed over and over again of, you know, this is, you know, about representation and how, what's going to be said and how, what questions to ask and what, you know, how to sort of pick at those questions. And I think what we've got now is we've got a film that tells their truth. It's obviously got my flair as as a filmmaker. There's scenes that I really wanted. But it's, you know, filmmaking is also, it's a group effort. And I really have to say it's a film that I think it hits all the narrative marks. It's got suspense. It's got drama. It's got a lot of humor. And, you know, a lot of these shows that have been quite popular on, say, you know, Netflix and on these VODs have... you know, have special needs and disabilities as a theme, but I think at times it can be quite sugar-coated, where this film's quite raw and it's honest. And I think that's also what makes it quite unique, is it's raw, and we're inviting you into this community, into the homes, into these people's lives. And yes, some of it isn't pretty, but that's life as well. It's not just, it's not, you know, life isn't just rainbows and butterflies. Yeah. It's intense. But at the same time, I believe it's beautiful. And I'm really excited for it to go into the film festival circuit, and really excited to see what the world thinks.
So. We must wrap to say hello to the news team, but Luke, several people are asking, how do we get to see the movie? You're having your official premiere next week. After that, as you've just mentioned, the festival circuit, is there yet a way for South Africans to watch, or are we going to have to wait a while?
So first, for 1 year, I want to keep it on the film festival circuit. There will be local film festivals that we have submitted to, but we're waiting to hear back. But then after that year, then we will try and find a home for it, either on a VOD or a broadcaster here locally. But if you follow the film, then... we'll be, you know, keeping people updated on where it's going to be.
Well, thank you all three of you for joining us this afternoon. It's been a pleasure having you in studio. You've been listening to Luke Sharland, the maker of the movie Normal to Me, his sister Jessica, who is one of the stars of the film, and to Catherine Pitt, the centre manager at the Joyce Chevalier Centre, which is where the bulk of the action plays out. Best wishes to all three of you, and Luke, all the best taking this film onto the festival circuit. Can't wait to see it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.